The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Coltrane Carlson at Raccoon Valley Radio and Shane Vanderhart at the Iowa Torch. Shane, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator Grassley, you and Senator Johnson have spearheaded an investigation into Hunter Biden and the Biden family's alleged foreign financial entanglements. What have you learned, and have you been able to get any traction with Senate Democrats? Are they paying attention, or are they just kind of blowing that off?
They're blowing it off. In other words, they're very silent compared to the first 2 years I was investigating this, and they were giving speeches and writing letters and involving the FBI to, I guess you'd say, mousetrap us. They had the media playing with them that we were disseminating Russian disinformation. And then, just a minute, I got a call. The media played the game with them for 2 years. Now that we've exposed all of these bank records and everything, and the bank records back up a lot of things that are on the laptop, that they're finally admitting that Chuck Grassley was right. They had no business. We started this investigation 2019. So it was August 2019. So it was the next 2 years we were fighting that we were disseminating Russian disinformation. And they were the ones disseminating Russian disinformation to get us to stop that investigation. But they were questioning my reputation as all the years in the Senate. I've developed this reputation of following the facts where they lead us, following the money where they lead us, and then drawing the conclusions when you get to the end of the investigation. Now, this investigation isn't quite over. And now I can maybe answer your question, because you asked what we found. We found that Hunter Biden and James Biden have relationships with Chinese business people in the energy business, the CEFC Corporation, Chinese business people have Communist Party connections and connections with the military. And they received $5 million one time, $1 million another time, and a lot of documents showing that they regularly, for a period of time, got, in the case of Hunter Biden, $100,000 checks monthly, $65,000 to James monthly. And even one time when James Biden had a credit card given to him by the Chinese business people, went on a worldwide spending spree, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the question is whether or not when Chinese do something and with that kind of money, they expect something. I'm not sure I can say what they expected, but I say it's very concerning to me of whether or not the national security of the United States has been compromised by Biden family members when another member of that family is president of the United States, whether or not that would affect our relationships with China to the detriment of the United States' interests. I wish I could answer that question, and I can't answer it. Coltrane.
All right, Senator Grassley, prior to the confirmation vote for Ketanji Brown Jackson being the new Supreme Court Justice, you have been stated as saying that you had fundamental differences with her. What I'd like to know is, can you explain what you mean by those fundamental differences and why that was enough possibly for you to vote against her being confirmed to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, it's the same fundamental differences or fundamental issues or questions that I raise with any nominee to the Supreme Court. I want to know that they're going to interpret the Constitution according to the original intent of the writers of the Constitution. And I guess you use the term originalist in regard to that part of it. And then interpreting laws of Congress the extent to which they might not, they might feel if there's some something very uncertain in the law or some vacuum in the law that they feel like they can substitute their judgment for that of the Congress of the United States, and particularly if it isn't clear, are they going to clear it up or are they going to have Congress rewrite the statute? And I'll give you one example of the latter. I authored the First Step Act, criminal justice reform, the first in a generation. It applies retroactivity to resentencing people in a very forward way. Or if there is retroactivity, it's in a very narrow fashion. So she interpreted retroactivity contrary to what we intended in the law, because it's a controversial thing how far you go back letting people be resentenced. And she decided to take advantage of that and sentence a person to a much shorter term because she was using the First Step retroactivity. That's entirely wrong to what we meant by the legislation. Let's go back to Shane.
Yeah, President Biden announced that he would lift the ban on E15 this summer. What more do you think he can do to address gas prices as well as support biofuels?
Well, first of all, thank him for responding to Ernst and my letter in regard to what he did. Now, he could do it even better by making it permanent law, and he hasn't done that only on a yearly basis. So that would help. But overall, price of gasoline might go down 2 or 3 cents as a result of what he said yesterday. But in regard to the overall $1.20 increase in gas, that's directly related to his policies. And those policies are stopping the XL pipeline, drilling on the north slope of Alaska, off the shore of Alaska, public lands in the United States, off the Gulf Coast, off the Atlantic Coast, putting additional restrictions on fracking, and then telling the banks don't loan money to energy companies. This has put a freeze on activity of the petroleum companies to increase production and just reverse those decisions that were made last week. And the price of gasoline will go down. Coltrane.
All right. Next up here, Senator Grassley, is about President Biden having said that Russian President Putin is using genocide against the Ukrainian people, which obviously would go beyond labeling Putin as a war criminal. What do you think the legal threshold is for somebody to be charged with genocide is, and do you support the president's comments that Putin is using genocide in the war with Ukraine?
Well, I just read some of the factors that go into the definition of genocide. One would be killing children. He's obviously done that. Another one, trying to wipe out whole classes of people. I wouldn't say he's trying to wipe out all of Ukraine, but he's sure killing a lot of innocent people. And anything dealing with moving people outside of their normal society. And I think that some of the things that he's done is genocide, but I think it would be wrong for us just to look at what's going on. Is he guilty of genocide or guilty of just war crimes? And maybe there's not a lot of difference between the two of them, but it's the inhumanity of what he was doing in a way in which needlessly killing people because Ukraine was no threat to Russia. And that inhumanity is enough to condemn him. Just to condemn him generally for being inhumane, or actually taking him to court. It doesn't make much difference to me whether it's genocide or war crimes or any other way you could get him there. Back to Shane.
Yeah, just to follow up on Coltrane's question, what do you think currently of President Biden's handling of the war in Ukraine?
Except for being 6 months late getting help in there, and except for urging President Zelensky to leave the country, because if he had left the country, all morale would have gone down. And he's staying there with these people, in a sense, fighting this war, I think is what's made it the accomplishments of the Ukrainian army what it's been. And it's almost unexplainable, the bravery and what they've accomplished. Now we've done pretty good. The president's done pretty good. Not as good as Europe or England, but pretty good getting defensive weapons there. Now if we really want Ukraine to win, we got to get heavier war material there. It might be getting there, but I don't know. But I don't know for sure. So. Let's go now. Let's see. I go to back to Coltrane, I think. This is the last question.
Okay. All right. So, Senator Grassley, with the way the inflation rate has now reached up to 8.5%, do you think more needs to be done to lower that inflation rate? And do you believe maybe President Biden is solely responsible for allowing the inflation rate to get so high, the most that's been reported in the last 40 years?
What's involved with supply chain, I think it'd be hard for me to pin all of that on Biden. But last month's rise in the inflation rate, 50% of it was because of the increased cost of energy. And I think I made very clear during the interview with Shane and you that that is the president's fault. But I believe to tackle it, as long as Manchin is of the opinion that Democrats should not use Build Back or Reconciliation to pass Build Back Better, and it takes 60 votes for everything else to get through the United States Senate, I don't think we have to worry about feeding the fires of inflation with another $4.5 trillion of spending. That would be very, very irresponsible. That would even be more irresponsible than my saying that that it was irresponsible for the Federal Reserve to get started about a year late in attacking inflation by increasing interest rates. So they've started to do that, and they'll probably do it a little faster now. But I think it's all in the Fed's hands, the extent to which we get inflation under control. And that's one of their only two responsibilities they have. Fighting inflation is one of them. And then the other thing is they increased their balance sheet from $4 trillion to $9 trillion during the pandemic. The next step is, and I think now I've been reading that they might be doing this, gradually decrease their balance sheet.
Thank you, Coltrane and Shane, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.